The Social Worker's Daughter by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 7. The First Crack in Harry's Wall. Harry, Hermione, and Susan were at Hagrid's until nearly dinner time. Susan created a makeshift birthday card using colored pencils and cardstock. She drew a picture of herself, Lila, and Hermione wearing party hats, all holding a big birthday cake with 12 candles. Hermione was busy braiding the friendship bracelet using the 5 different colored pieces of yarn. She was able to find some small clasps to attach to each end. Harry helped Hagrid with the cake. It was a single-layer chocolate cake. With Harry's help, it was a bit less lumpy than the one he got for his own birthday. However, the 3 friends had to leave for the Great Hall for dinner. Before he left, Harry wrote out, "Happy birthday, Lila," for Hagrid to copy with green icing when the time came. Back at the Great Hall, Harry and Hermione sat at the Gryffindor table, and Susan joined Lila and the other Hufflepuffs. "I hope Lila doesn't suspect anything," Harry whispered to Hermione. "She's a sharp little witch, I wouldn't put it past her," replied Hermione softly. Harry glanced at Hermione nervously. "Is her bracelet secure?" Hermione patted her bag. "It isn't going anywhere, Harry," she squeaked. "I hope so. I'm going to look for Percy," Harry replied. He looked up and down the table to find a red-haired student with a prefect badge. "Oh, I think I found him," thought Harry after scanning for several seconds. He got up and approached Percy. "Excuse me, Percy," Harry said.
"One moment, Potter," replied Percy.
Even though Harry didn't think Percy was doing anything particularly important at the time. A minute later, Percy finally re-engaged Harry.
"Ah, yes, what can I do for you?"
"I have a friend who has a birthday tomorrow. I was wanting to try the conjuration spell Orchidius, but that is a rather advanced spell. I was wondering if you had a few minutes this evening to maybe give me some pointers. I understand if you're busy, but I want to do something special for her, you know?"
Percy nodded in understanding. "I see. Is it Mrs. Granger's birthday? I seem to recall that she had a birthday this month, but I wasn't sure which day."
Harry shook his head no. "It's Miss Darling. She's at the Hufflepuff table. Miss Granger has hers later this month."
"Interesting, Mr. Potter. I should have a few minutes this evening to give some tips. Perhaps I can practice in the Gryffindor common room at, say, 8:30,
asked Percy.
"That'd be brilliant," answered Harry.
"Thank you for your help."
"You're welcome," said Percy.
Later that evening, Harry and Hermione were in the Gryffindor common room going over schoolwork together. Harry impressed Hermione with his dedication to studying, but he didn't quite have her stamina.
"My brain's fried, Hermione. Do you mind if we take a short break?"
Hermione sighed as she was clearly in her element, but she turned and smiled sweetly at Harry.
"That's fine, Harry, but so long as it's short." Harry smiled. "Thank you. I really just need a few minutes to catch my breath."
Hermione giggled.
"I suppose I might need a few, too."
Harry looked at Hermione.
"Thank you for reaching out to me the other night during the sorting ceremony. You saved the day. You're truly a good friend."
He gently wrapped his arms around her in a warm hug. Hermione blushed.
"You're the first real friend I've ever had, Harry. Until I met you, all my friends were characters in adventure novels or forced companions for birthday parties."
Harry shook his head in disbelief.
"I don't understand. You're unbelievably sweet and bubbly. I would have imagined you had loads of friends."
Hermione shrugged.
"I've always been the resident bookworm, the insufferable bossy know-it-all. I really don't mean to be, but you know what they say about first impressions."
She beamed at Harry.
"Thank you for looking deeper, Harry. You truly are a special friend. You're going to be a great wizard one day, I know it."
She threw her arms around Harry in a wild hug. It was at that moment that Percy walked into the common room. Hermione quickly scooted over a smidge so as not to give Percy the notion that any funny business was going on between them.
"Ready to practice the Orchidius spell, Potter?" he called out.
"Ready, Percy," answered Harry.
Percy brought out his wand to demonstrate.
"It's up and then loop counterclockwise like so, and you say Orchidius. It may take you a few tries, but you should be able to get it."
Percy then conjured a bouquet with ease.
"Now, so we don't leave a mess in the common room, simply use reparafage to undo it like this."
And he demonstrated the untransfiguration spell with equal ease. He smiled at Harry.
"Why don't you give it a go and see what happens?"
Harry tried his hand at Orchidius, but couldn't quite get the hang of it. Percy chuckled.
"It's okay, Harry, just keep practicing. I promise you'll get it soon enough. I must go for now, but I do wish you success. Have a good evening."
Harry smiled.
"Thank you, Percy. I know I'll get it."
Harry continued to swirl his wand like Percy instructed. Hermione giggled.
Harry, relax. You're doing it correctly, from what I gather. But I also think you're going a bit fast. Try slowing it down some.
Harry nodded. He took Hermione's advice and slowed his wand movement slightly, and also said Orchideus more clearly and deliberately.
That was it. A beautiful bouquet of flowers appeared on the table in front of him.
Great job, Harry, Hermione exclaimed.
Now try doing the counter. Remember, take your time and say it clearly. Reparifange.
Harry again took his friend's advice, and just like that, the bouquet disappeared without a trace. Harry smiled at Hermione.
I don't know what I'd do without you. Oh, did you have any luck with that beautification charm you told me about?
Hermione shook her head sadly.
Maybe I was biting off more than I can chew, but I'll ask Professor Flitwick after class tomorrow and see if he can give me some advice. I like to think I'm a talented witch, but maybe I'm just not ready for this one.
Harry placed his hand on her shoulder.
You're a talented witch, Hermione, without question. Even if you don't get it down by tomorrow afternoon, I still think you're amazing.
He hesitated for a moment and gave her a serious expression.
Did anyone ever tell you that you're pretty?
Hermione shook her head.
No, not from anyone other than my mum and daddy.
Harry grinned.
Well, I think you're pretty, Hermione.
Hermione wrapped her arms around Harry and squeezed him tightly as a single tear rolled down her cheek.
Oh, thank you, Harry, she said with a slight sniffle. You're the best friend I could ever ask for.
The next morning, Harry and Hermione went to the Hufflepuff table to wish Lila a happy birthday. Susan joined Harry and Hermione in singing happy birthday to Lila. Susan gave Lila the card that she made, and Hermione clasped the homemade friendship bracelet on Lila's wrist. Harry then confidently waved his wand, Orchideus, and a beautiful bouquet of purple orchids appeared. Lila beamed at her friends.
I don't know what to say. Thank you so much.
A tear of joy rolled down her cheek. She embraced each of her friends in turn.
This truly is a terrific birthday. I couldn't ask for three better friends.
Lila then looked at Harry.
Harry, mind if we talk during our shared free period this morning?
She lowered her voice to just above a whisper.
Alone, that is.
Harry shrugged.
Sure, Lila, what do you want to talk about?
Lila grinned.
Anything and everything, really.
A couple of hours later, Lila and Harry met outside the castle under the shade of a particularly large oak tree. Lila gently took Harry's hand and looked him in his emerald green eyes. She gave him a reassuring smile.
Harry, when I first met you on the train, I knew you were special. Not because I read about you in some textbook or bought into some legend, but because I've never really met anyone like you. You're kind, you're gentle, and you're smart.
Her voice trailed off a bit. Harry could sense that she was going somewhere with this, but he wasn't exactly sure where. Lila gave Harry's hand a very gentle squeeze. She remembered the advice Professor McGonagall gave her, just chip away, get him to open up little by little, probe gently.
First of all, thank you for the flowers. They're beautiful, she grinned.
Harry smiled coyly.
You're welcome. Pretty flowers for an even prettier girl.
Lila blushed. She then looked at Harry with a serious expression.
Harry, I still don't know much about you. You're supposed to be a half-blood wizard by heritage, right?
That's right, my father was pure-blood and my mother was muggle-born, replied Harry. Lila nodded.
And as I've told you, I am muggle-born as well. Now, you were effectively raised as muggle-born, is that correct?
Yes, I live with my aunt and uncle and cousin in Surrey. None of them were magical, Harry answered.
And were they good to you?
Lila asked, even though she already knew the answer.
They were okay, I guess, Harry responded.
It wasn't a real lie, but he wasn't entirely truthful either. Lila gently squeezed Harry's hand again.
It's okay, Harry. If you still don't feel comfortable telling me your story, I understand, but I'm your friend. Truth be told, I've become quite fond of you over the short time we've been friends.
She smiled sweetly. Harry returned the smile. And I've grown fond of you as well, Lila. He then felt a lump in his throat. Maybe sharing a little bit might relieve some of the burden he carried.
Actually, Lila, they weren't that great to me. They aren't very kind people, unlike you or Hermione, for that matter. I felt like a burden to them sometimes, he admitted.
Lila's warm smile only grew.
You needn't tell me any more today if you wish. If you want to tell me more another time, you know where to find me. And you can also tell Hermione if I'm not around, or if you simply feel more comfortable talking to her. She has become very fond of you as well. She truly cares for you just as much as I do.
Harry embraced Lila.
She's a very special witch, but you're my first real friend. I'll always remember that.
Harry looked at Lila.
May I ask you a question?
Of course, Harry, replied Lila. What's on your mind?
Harry grinned.
Do you remember meeting your first real friend?
Lila beamed.
I was 6 years old, and I just started primary school. I met a little bushy red-haired girl named Dawn. She had the cutest little giggle.
Lila paused to reminisce.
We played house and pretended we were princesses and watched cartoons. Such sweet, innocent memories.
Do you still keep in touch with her? Harry asked.
Lila smiled sadly.
I'm afraid not, Harry. She and her family moved to Australia a couple of years later. We both cried our eyes out when she broke the news to me. She was a treasure for sure. Do you think she might have been wizarding material? Harry asked.
I don't rightly know, Harry, replied Lila.
It's possible, but from what I gather, there's a separate school for Aussie wizards and witches. I'd have to know if she qualified.
Perhaps you can ask your head of house, Harry suggested. I can owl mine for you too, to cover all bases.
You'd do that for me, Harry? Lila asked,
her silvery grey eyes sparkling.
Without question, Harry replied confidently.
It's just about time for lunch, said Lila. Ready to go to the Great Hall?
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Industrious Ferret by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.